Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, and it's the 18th of July, and I'm recording at a late-ish 11.04 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Now, what's going on with these stock markets, taking them first? Well, as you know, we've had a risk-on environment here. And that means people have been putting money back into stock markets. And we're in the fourth week of that. It's really started from the late June lows. And that June sell-off had led to some short-term panicky downward reactions. That caused a lot of liquidity to be pushed back into the system. And again, central banks supplying all that liquidity. And it doesn't help their economies all that much, or so it seems, but it does help to float stock markets higher. And that's what we've been seeing, and we're now in the fourth week of this rise overall. Now, the stock markets that have done best since those late June lows have been helped by global liquidity. But we have a number of short-term overbought conditions that have actually developed. If you want to weigh them up and say, which are the best here overall? Okay, we're overbought. We may see some pullbacks fairly soon. I'd be surprised if we didn't. But thereafter, which are really the best ones here overall? And I would say, if you just filter them on the basis of which stock markets have actually currently are selling at their new highs for this year. Now, just for this year, there aren't that many that are hitting new all-time highs. I mean, the Standard & Poor's 500 indexes, the amazing performance by the New Zealand stock market is, a couple of European stock markets. But most stock markets are still very much in overall trading ranges. But nevertheless, if they are actually above those January highs, for instance, that we had seen, or those January levels, then they're showing above average relative strength compared to a good many other stock markets. And they're the ones that I would remain most interested in overall. Now, if I take Wall Street, which is so important, so influential, it certainly is overbought as well, but benefiting again, as so many, from all this global liquidity. But on the S&P 500, you've got a P/E ratio that's just over 20, and it only yields 2.11% according to Bloomberg. Now, that's not extremely overbought, but it's on the higher side of valuations generally. And what's going to be important technically is where the S&P index next finds support. For instance, today we closed at 2,166, almost 2,167. And there's a trading range just below this level, but overall, my point would be that the next reaction on the S&P will probably speak volumes. But I'd give the upside the benefit of the doubt as long as it's still held above the 2,000 level. We start to get a move much below 2,000; it's not all that far away, and it's going to look like an upside failure on this move to new high ground. Now, I am feeling a little cautious overall, one, given that short-term overbought condition, but also this seasonally, this is not a particularly attractive time of the year for markets. There are a lot of overall concerns that people are worrying about. GDP growth is certainly flat. So really, the big bull story is just the fact that we have that liquidity. Okay, what's happened And in the government bond markets. And that U.S. 10-year has edged higher, but it's only at 1.58%, and it has not maintained the break below the 2012 low. So that downside failure is potentially important. And I notice that more people are saying that they think Treasury bonds and most government bond markets really don't have that much room to provide additional gains for investors. But trouble is, some of us have been saying that for years, and of course they've gone on appreciating in terms of total returns. That includes the yield, obviously, and have done extremely well. But really, for those government bond markets to go on providing good returns, we're going to have to see a deterioration in equities and just a weak overall economic environment generally, causing concerns to keep that money in government bond markets. So, which way is it going to flip? Are we going to have equities come out on top over the second half of this year, or are we going to have the bond markets come out on top? Well, my hunch is that it'll probably be equities coming out on top, meaning that bond yields will be pushed somewhat higher here overall. But don't be surprised if the action remains somewhat choppy overall. Now, what about some of the havens that we've seen? And commodities have certainly been a very strong sector this year. They've been the really strong sector this year, best performing sector. And we're seeing a little bit of a lull in here right now. Crude oil has one of the clear or crude oil charts show the clear evidence of that loss of upside momentum. We haven't had much in the way of downward dynamics, but we've been getting this drifting here overall. Is this probably just a consolidation before we go somewhat higher? That's the interesting question here overall. Quite possibly, but what we have to remember is that over the last few months, in addition to oil prices being just too low generally and causing some cutbacks in supply and also causing demand to increase, we had some accidents that had disrupted production. And that ranged really from Canada to the Middle East, Nigeria, and that really just changed supply just enough to enable the demand side to push up a little bit more strongly. But overall, I think the downside risk for commodities is limited to a break in the quite orderly, in most instances, rises that we've seen since the beginning of this year, and then going into a fairly lengthy consolidation phase and right-hand extension. Keep an eye on crude oil. That's one that is important within the industrial sector, obviously, that may be doing just that. Now, how about the precious metals? They have a pattern here over the last few days of being, again, consolidating gains, but they're holding up pretty well so far against the background of this risk-on environment. And in other words, the fear factor that can sometimes drive precious metals up has abated, but they appear to be really relatively steady. Just give you an example, the platinum market that Owen and I both have positions. That was down just I think near the just about down near 1,080. Low 80s, but is pushed back up above the 1100 level. It's in after hours trading. It's at 1103.40 as I speak, and silver, which had dipped down below the $20 level to, I think it got down to in 19 high 70s, but is currently back up at $20.11. So it's gradually come back up and holding these ranges that we've been seeing here for over a week or more. My own view is that we have further upside potential in this sector, and my favorites remain silver. That's the most volatile one, but if we have a bullish environment and we have overall upward trends in all of these precious metals, that silver is high beta gold, and so therefore it will outperform in both directions. And so any reasonably decent pullback that we see in silver this year has so far proved to be a buying opportunity. And I think also platinum is quite interesting because of the historically unusual discount to gold, and that's all about concern over catalytic converters and will they need less platinum in the years ahead. Well, almost certainly, but again, these precious metals there's a lot of investment demand that we're beginning to see once again, and also these are high-tech metals, and they have plenty of uses. So my feeling is that platinum and silver probably have the best upside potential overall. And then there are a lot of you I know who are listening who just feel, well, if you're going to go into precious metals, you want to be in gold, and I can certainly understand that. And again, we have a overall upward trend here, and all the worst we're seeing, in my opinion, is just a consolidation. Now, what about currency markets? That dollar index is still very much range bound, and it's at that level of 96, just above 96.5. And you know the higher side of that range is just over the 100 level. And it looks to me like it's consolidating prior to another push closer to the upper side of that range. I've said for months that I think the Fed and the U.S. Treasury will try to keep the dollar index within that overall trading range. They don't want to see it go back and test that 100 level on the upside. And I also feel that they've intervened surreptitiously, of course, to prevent it from pushing up into that range. And while the dollar index, though, just stays within this range, as it has been for a good many months now, if you can do that through the end of the year, that will be good overall. Because a too strong dollar would be a headwind for U.S. corporate profits, which haven't been all that strong, although they should pick up in the next quarter's reports. And a stronger dollar is a headwind for GDP growth, and the U.S. economy would suffer a little from that, and it would be hard for Wall Street to hold those new all-time highs that we have seen on the S&P 500 index. And other currencies, the yen is weakening, a little bit weaker in here again today. It's at 106.25 against the greenback, and that weakening down from the 102, nearly 101 level that we had seen at one stage in the last couple of weeks. That's helping the Japanese stock market a little bit as well. And sterling, all the drama that we've seen over over Brexit, quietly steady in here, Looks to me like it's consolidating down here a little above and a little below this 130 level, mostly a little above the 130 level against the US dollar. And I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't edge somewhat higher over the next few weeks overall. But I also think that the Bank of England will be quite happy and would prefer to see and will try to keep sterling from rising too much here anytime soon. And on that note, well, I should mention the Turkish situation. The failed coup, on balance, I think most investors and most international politicians are saying, well, it's better to have the democratically elected government in Turkey still in charge rather than have the military back in charge overall. But this is still a volatile situation, and there are a lot of concerns about how much of a crackdown Erdogan's going to actually cause over the next few weeks and months. And that's another reason for people to be just a little bit more anxious about Europe. So many factors have caused concerns about Europe recently, as you'll be well aware. All right, and on that note, all the very best to all of you.